As far as other things go, like going and passing out tracts or being active in the church or anything like that, it's real easy to say, well, I don't feel called to do that. It's real easy for somebody to say, well, I really don't feel like the Lord's leading me to do that. Well, he didn't just save you to just be saved. He didn't just save you to just write out this thing and not do anything for him. We're all called to do some things, whether he lays it on your heart individually or personally or not. There are some things in the Word that we'll look at this morning that are calls for everybody. Now, it's real easy to say, and we hear it a lot of times, you say, well, somebody else will do it. I'll get someone else to do it. Most of the time, nobody else is going to do it. When it comes down to going out and could be doing anything, passing out tracts or witnessing or street preaching or anything like that, there's not much of that stuff going on anymore. So using the excuse that, well, old brother so-and-so, you know, he's faithful to do that, he'll go do that, or sister so-and-so, she'll take care of that, that's not the case anymore. It's no secret that the church is, just like the Bible says, some are departing from the faith. The churches are kind of dwindling down a little bit, but it's up to us. Just because everybody else is falling away doesn't mean that we have to. So that's what we want to look at, some things this morning. Matthew chapter 10, where we'll start. We'll stay mainly in the four Gospels this morning. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we sure do thank you, God, for just allowing us to be in church this morning. God, there's a lot of other places that we could be, a lot of places that we deserve to be, God, but through your grace and mercy, Lord, you let us come to church, and we sure are thankful for it. I just pray now, God, you'd use me and just separate my mind and my flesh from the world, God, and just speak through me and say whatever you'd have said in this place this morning. I pray that someone would find some help. Lord, I pray that you would just move in our midst this morning and be in this teaching hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, right here, this is kind of some guidelines we just read in Matthew chapter 10. And while we'll talk about that, you can be turning over to Mark chapter 8. But I have dealt with some people that have said just outright, well, brother, when you're trying to witness to them or get them to come to church or do anything like that, they'll say, well, I'll put it like this. I'm saved and my family's saved, and that's really all that matters. I've had people tell me that out of their mouth. They said those words, and I'm thinking, man, I sure am glad that I wasn't dependent on you to witness to me when I was lost. Amen. That's not a very good example of a Christian. That's kind of taking it for granted. They say, well, I got my fire insurance, and that's all I'm worried about. Yeah, but how many of the people we pass on the street every day have their fire insurance too? Not many of them. So the responsibility falls on us. And there's a sense, a spirit of entitlement in the air today. We all know that, especially people my age, my generation, the younger generation. They feel like they're owed something. We're not owed anything. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell this morning. Don't nobody owe us anything at all, but we do owe some things to the Lord for saving our soul from hell. We owe it to Him to serve Him, to stay faithful to Him. And that all just boils down really to just being lazy. We hear excuses all the time on things like that. But we'll look at some calls this morning. You say, well, I'm not called to do anything. Well, maybe after this Sunday school, you'll see that a little different. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to try to teach quick, not take up too much time. Mark chapter 8, look at verse 34. Mark 8, 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall it profit a man if what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what we see right here in that first verse we read, that's a call to walk. That's a call to take up a cross and follow the Lord. And that the word whosoever is mentioned three times in that passage that we just read. Now that's the same whosoever that's in Romans 10:13. That's everybody. That applies to you, it applies to me, it applies to all of us. So we're all called to walk with the Lord. Now we walk, we know, we hear it said all the time that in the Christian faith, we're fighting an uphill battle. It's a climb, it's a grind to continue going. And if we're fighting uphill, say you're driving a vehicle uphill, and you stop that thing and you just drop it down in neutral, what are you going to do? You're going to roll backwards. You're going to start losing ground. Well, that's the same way, the same concept in our Christian life. Our walk determines our relationship with God. And we put this one first because if our personal fellowship with God is not where it should be, then nothing else is going to amount to anything. If we're not talking to God and walking with Him and fellowship with Him on a daily basis like we ought to be, then we don't have to worry about witnessing to anybody, because that's certainly not going to happen. If we can't get the thing nailed down to where we can take the time to talk to God for ourselves, then we're certainly not going to talk to anybody else about Him. It's not within us to do that. So we're called to walk according to His Word. Some other references, we won't turn to them, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. All those talk about walking worthy. Walk worthy of your calling. A lot of people today don't want to walk worthy. They want to walk worthlessly. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to go anywhere for God. They just want to sit around and not do anything. Well, we're called to get up and go. We all have a cross. The day we got saved, He saved us from hell. He lifted that burden, but He also gave us a cross. He gave us each our own ministry. So it's easy to sit in a pew, and I've done it, and say, well, I'm not really led to do this, or I'm not really led to go anywhere or tell anybody. Well, if you're called to walk with the Lord, walking with the Lord, if you're carrying a cross, somebody's going to know it. You may not. You don't have to go around preaching it all the time. You don't have to tote a Bible in the grocery store with you. Your life will show it, and we'll look at that here in just a few minutes. The Bible says we must, or John said, I must decrease, He must increase. Our walk with the Lord will decrease our flesh. It'll increase His presence in our life. If you think of a tree, think of say we're standing under a tree and where the sun's high up in the sky, when is the shadow of that tree the smallest? When the sun's straight up. Well, that's us. Our shadow should be smaller when the sun is straight ahead, the sun being Jesus Christ, the light of our world. So the closer we are to Him, the better off we are. And if we're not walking with Him, He's going to get further away from us. A walk is a movement or an action or a motion. It's taking steps. It requires effort. Anybody can sit around and dry up, but we're not called to do that. We're called to walk. We're called to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Come over to Matthew chapter 5. Now, like I said, if we can't get our walk nailed down this morning, then we're not going to do anything that'll benefit anybody else for Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be anything huge. You don't have to go stand on a street corner and preach. Now, I believe that's good for you. That'll crucify your flesh. We do that a little bit, and that'll bring you down a notch. It'll crucify the flesh, and that's good. Anything that puts your flesh under submission is a good thing, because that gives more power, gives more light to Jesus Christ in your life, and that's a blessing. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 13. Matthew 5:13. We see there our call to walk, the first one we read, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we had our call to walk. Now we see here our call to work. Now that work that we're talking about is not like the Jehovah's Witness and all those say. It's not working to be saved. It's not working to go to heaven. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. Nothing else. There's nothing else added to it. No good deed that we've ever done can put us into heaven. We can't buy our way in there. We can't work our way in there. We're all nailed down on that this morning. Amen. We're all clear on that. But this work here, it's a spiritual work. It's a work, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to get in God's word, and if we're going to walk with him like we just talked about a minute ago, then it's going to be some work. I know we're all busy, and we all have all kind of things to do. We all work full-time jobs, and honestly, it just gets hard sometimes to make time for spiritual things. Just be honest with you. You know what I'm talking about. You get so caught up in the day, and you say, Lord, I'm going to take some time today, and I'm going to read your word. And I don't mean just breeze through it and just skim through the pages or anything like that. I'm really going to read this prayerfully and carefully and ask you to give me something. Well, you go through all day with that mindset and that intention, and next thing you know, you're laying down at night and you're exhausted and you're worn out. And right before you drift off to sleep, the thought comes in your head, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. I didn't get in the Word of God like I said I was going to. I didn't take the time to say no to something else and get in His Word. And we suffer for that. We lose fellowship for that. So this work we're talking about here, it's not all about go, go, go and doing things for other people to see. But if we're working in God's Word and we're studying His Word like we ought to be, those other things will just come. If you spend time with God, the people around you will know it. Your life will show it. He said, you're a light, city set on a hill. People will see it. It'll come out. He also compares us there to salt. And I've oftentimes thought about that. Wonder why in the world he'd compare us to salt. Why would we be like that? Because salt works. If you put salt in something that's bland or tasteless or anything like that, it works. It'll kick it up a little bit, and that's what we ought to do as Christians. We ought to be working. We ought not be dry, sitting around and not doing anything and just bland all the time. I know some of the unhappiest people I know in this world are Christians. And I understand we all have hard times, and we all have things that we go through, but we do have some things to rejoice over. We are going to heaven. If your family's saved, they're going to heaven. That's something to make you smile just a little bit and not just sit around moping all the time. But we ought to work in God's Word. Bible says our weapons are not carnal. We know that we're fighting a spiritual warfare. Therefore, our work shouldn't be carnal either. It's real easy to get out and go put in overtime at the job every week because we get paid for it. But what about putting some overtime in the Word of God? What about working on spiritual things? What about laying up some treasures in heaven? We're all called to do it. And I know the preachers, he's called to get up here every week, and he's called to teach and called to preach and all that, but we only got a preacher 2 days a week. A lot of churches we go in and preach now, they've only got a preacher one time a week. That's the majority of churches that we go in back home and really all over. They're down to one Sunday morning service. They don't have Sunday school, and I understand that COVID, it affected everything. It did our church for a while, and that stuff is no joke. But the churches, they haven't come back from it. They haven't opened back up. And the majority of them we go in, you meet one time on Sunday morning, there's no Sunday school, there's no Sunday evening worship, there's no Wednesday night Bible study. That's it. They get the Word of God from a man behind the pulpit one day a week for about an hour. Can't live off that. You can't live off just a couple hours a week. I can't live off just a man preaching to me 3 or 4 hours a week if I am in church every time the doors are open. So it's going to require some work on our part. If we take this thing and we apply it to our physical lives, you eat a couple times on Sunday, you go home and eat a big lunch today, and tell me how long it lasts you. It's not going to last long. It'll last me about 2 hours, and I'll be hunting a snack. But that's the same application applies right here. You take this Word of God, and by the time we wake up in the morning, we ought to be hungry for some more. It's the same thing with our physical lives. We're not going to go without a meal. Well, our spiritual food in the Word of God is just as important as our physical food. And we ought to live it like it is. Our work will bring forth wisdom. You put time in the Scripture, you put time in studying God's Word, He'll show you some things. It's easy to sit back and say, well, I don't really understand everything in the Bible. Well, you don't have to understand everything in there, but there's plenty in there that you can wrap your mind around and think about. There's some verses in there, just a few words that God will let you think about for weeks at a time. I've read things before, and it just seems like I sit there and ponder them for hours, and they're not even that deep, because I'm not a deep person, but God's Word's for everybody. So we see there, it's not all about just, most people, a lot of times you got to be careful. Today, they'll just want to make it look good on the outside. They'll want to say, well, we got this ministry and this and this and this, and we go feed the homeless. And well, that's all good, but what about personally? What about when nobody else is around? What about when it's just you and God? How much work are you putting in then? It's easy to put in the work when it seems like we're kind of getting some glory out of it. But if we're up at night losing sleep reading our Bible, are we getting any glory for that? Our flesh isn't. Our spirit is. Our spirit's getting fed. Our spirit's getting some wisdom poured into it. And another reason we should work, because as we all know, whatever has your eyes, it has your heart. It has your mouth. Whatever you're giving heed to, whatever you're looking at and spending time watching, whether it's the news or whether it's Facebook, and I'm not going to get off on any of that stuff, but whatever you spend your time with is what's going to be your conversation. So if you spend time in the Word of God, you'll talk about it. You can't help it. It's what's on the inside. It's what you've been looking at, what you've been thinking about. Come over to John chapter 4. Now, these are just some simple things this morning that we're all called to do. We can't put it all off on the preacher or all off on the Sunday school teacher. We do have to take some responsibility and do some things for the Lord ourselves. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, look at verse 23. John 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see right there, that's a call for every one of us to worship the Lord. We have our walk, we have our work, now we have our worship. And it says right there, but the hour cometh, and now he is. Let me tell you something this morning, the hour is here to be worshiping the Lord. Not just for our sake, not just for those around us, but I've been fortunate and blessed back home. We've got about a dozen young boys in our church, anywhere from 10 to 12, 13 years old. And those boys keep me in line. I take up a lot of time with them, and I enjoy doing it, but not just for them, but for me. They help me walk a straight line. Because I do things, and I'll think, what would those boys think about it? What would they think if they saw Brother Hunter doing this? It holds me accountable. Well, whether you have a dozen young boys or anything like that watching you this morning, you ought to hold yourself accountable for your worship. It's no secret. The main thing today, the main idea is a false idea, and it's fake worship. All these big churches, I'm sure y'all know about them. That's not real worship. That's not real preaching. It's more like going into a rock concert or something like that. When you walk into a church house, you ought to know, hey, I'm in a church. That's what you hear people say. Well, we just want to make them feel welcome. Listen, if you're out living in sin and living like hell, you shouldn't feel comfortable in a church house. You ought to feel like you need to do something. And you do. You need to get in an altar and get right. We shouldn't conform just for the sake of getting the world in here. We don't want the world in here. You want some change to take place, you get them in here and let them listen to some preaching, and God will take care of the change. He'll take care of the conformity. He'll make them a new creature. But I stress this a lot in my preaching because that's the way that the church is going nowadays. It's moving really just out into apostasy. There's things happening. There's a church that we drive by on a daily basis up in Birmingham. Now, I know that is a different world from down here, and thanks be to God for it. But it's a Baptist church, and I know y'all, everybody knows last week was Pride Month. I won't get into all that. I'll get in the flesh. But last month was Pride Month, and they had a sign outside their church. It was a big old rainbow sign with big, huge letters that said, "Everybody is welcome at such and such Baptist church." Well, that's not right. That goes directly contrary to what God says about it. God says that stuff is an abomination. It shouldn't be allowed in the church houses. It shouldn't be welcome. But I stress this stuff right here a lot because that's the way, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people that I know for years and years and years and years that worship the Lord in true worship, and they've gone out and they've given heed to that stuff and those false doctrines, and now they're as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know which direction's up. They don't know what's going on. And it's because they got away from true worship. True worship ain't all about coming into a church house and shouting the house down. We're not always in the condition to come in here and shout the house down. Sometimes our spiritual condition is to come in here and sit on a pew and crawl up in this altar and do some business with God. If we got a filthy heart and we've still got sin on our heart, God can't fellowship. He can fellowship with a man that's got sin in his nature. We all have sin in our nature. It's in us to sin. But he won't fellowship with a man that has sin in his heart. So if we come in here and they bring all that stuff into the church house and just out living however they want to live and sinning and not confessing their sins and getting that right with God, and they come in here and raise all that sin and do all that jumping around, oh, they're fellowshipping with somebody, but it ain't the God that we're talking about. They're worshiping some spirit, but it's not the spirit that we want in here. So I stress this right here a lot because it's up to us. The Bible-believing, King James-believing Christian is who it falls on. It's where the responsibility goes to show the rest of the world what true worship is. And we're all called to do that as Christians. As saved, born-again Christians, we're called to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, this stuff right here, I could talk about it all day long, but worship requires some effort. We got to get things right with God. We got to keep our heart in tune with Him. We got to keep our sins confessed, try to live clean. We can't just walk out of the world and come into a church house and start worshiping. That's not how it works. That starts mixing things up. But all the stuff that's going on today, it draws people's emotions. They go in, they say, "Well, look at that. They got all this nice loud music and all these nice flashing lights, and there's not really any hard preaching that goes on, and they make me feel good." Preaching don't always make me feel good. Very seldom does Bible preaching make me feel good. You say, why is that? Because it puts in view, it makes me stand in front of the mirror and see exactly what I am as a person. It makes me see just how wretched and how wicked I am. And we have to keep that in touch. We have to keep that in our minds, else we'll be lifted up with pride and we'll find ourselves in trouble. So all these things this morning that we talked about, our walk and our worship and our work, the idea is just to show you that we're all called to do something. We're not called just to sit around, like the old preachers say, we're not called to sit around on our blessed assurance and not do anything for God. We all have a responsibility. Now, we do a lot of riding around. We do construction work, so me and Reed are on the road all the time. And we'll go in a place, and we keep some gospel tracts in the truck. And if you come up and talk to me today and it seems like I'm being a jerk, I promise I'm not being a jerk. I get nervous when I talk to people, and I start stuttering, and I can't find my words. But we go around and we drive and we take our gospel tracts with us everywhere we go. And if we go into a store or we're on a job site, I can take one of those gospel tracts. And if I go in a restroom or if I'm at a gas pump or anything like that, I can leave one of those gospel tracts in that restroom or on that gas pump, and I don't have to say a word to anybody. I don't have to make myself look like a fool and try to explain anything to anybody and stutter and spit and make them question whether or not I'm in my right mind. I can lay that gospel track out and I can say, Lord, please take this track and let somebody pick it up that is in need of it and bless them. And Lord, if they're lost, I pray that through this track, you would show them their need of a Savior. Say, what's that? That's doing some work. You say, it's just one track. Say, you just did one track every 2 or 3 days. Say, you did one track a day. If you're out a lot, just leave one track anywhere. You could be in Walmart. Leave one on a shelf somewhere. Somebody will see it. Somebody will have to pick it up, and the gospel has been laid in somebody's hand. So I feel like a lot of times we get intimidated when we start talking about doing things because we all do get nervous. We're all people. And your flesh don't want to tell anybody about the Lord. I'm a preacher. My flesh don't want to tell anybody. Every time I try to witness somebody, I have to put my flesh down. Because it's not in our nature to do that. But you go out and you hand out a tract, or you just leave a tract somewhere. That's some fruit. That's a seed you're sowing. And the Bible says God's word will not return void. Now somebody may not pick it up and get saved. But then again, they might. I know they certainly won't pick it up if you don't put it out there. Now also this morning, I know that a lot of times we try to feel like people are pressuring us into doing things, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to pressure you into doing anything, because if you do it out of pressure, that's the wrong motive anyway. It ought to come out of our heart. We see people walking around every day, and we'd be surprised just how many people that we pass on a daily basis that are going to hell. It's no secret. Look around this morning. I bet I passed 100 churches on the way down here. It's the same way down here as it is at my house. There's one around every curve. And you go to them this morning at worship hour, there'll be a dozen cars in the parking lot. Now we live up on the lake, and there's churches all alongside the lake. The churches will be empty this morning, but you go to every marina, every boat launch up there, they'll be bumper to bumper. People aren't worried about doing anything for the Lord anymore, and it falls on us. You say, well, I'm not capable of doing much. Can you pray? Can you read? You can do something. I know some old saints of God that pray for me every single day. They're retired. They're up in their 80s and 90s, and they don't get out. They don't go to the grocery store anymore. They're too out of touch with technology to get on Facebook. They've still got the flip phones. They don't give all their time to social media. What do? They sit around and pray. And I can tell when they're praying for me, and I'm thankful for it. But they're not out burning up the roads, witnessing to people. They're not able to. But they're able to pray. And that prayer is a blessing. So the bottom line this morning is we're all able to do something. We're all able to walk with the Lord personally. We're all able to work for Him in some form or fashion, whether it's one gospel track a week or telling one person a week. And we're all able to worship the Lord. So hopefully there goes the excuses of, well, I'm not called to do anything. There's three callings for all of us right there. And I pray that we'll take these things this morning. I know it's not always easy. We always have to fight the flesh. We always can find an excuse not to do something. But I pray this morning that through God's word that we'll look in the mirror and say, hey, I am called to do something. I am capable of doing something. Listen, if there's anybody here this morning that's not worthy to do anything, it's me not being worthy to stand behind this pulpit. I promise you I'm not. But God called me. He allows me to do it. And He'll allow you to do something too. So with that being said, we'll close this morning and take a break before preaching. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we sure do thank You for being so good to us. God, we thank You for saving us. And Lord, we thank You for calling us all to do things, God, whether they be big or small in our eyes, God, we know that they all mean something to You, and that's what matters. And I pray, God, You just give us a burden to see the lost saved, God, and a burden to see our lives changed to walk closer to You every single day. And God, we'll give You all the honor and glory for everything You do in our lives, and I pray You just Be with us in the next hour, God. I pray your spirit might be felt and your presence be made real. And I pray if there's one that walks through these doors today, God, I pray that through a song or through the preaching of your word, God, I pray that you would show them their need of a Savior. And I pray you'd save their soul from hell today. And we thank you for being so good to us. And we thank you for loving us. And we sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.